With the passing of time, we all move steadily toward old age. But what does it look like to age well in the life of the church? In this episode, Tommy and Doug explore how scripture reshapes our view of aging, showing that later years are not for stepping back, but for bearing lasting fruit through Christ-like character, intentional discipleship, and faithful service, while also calling the next generation to listen, learn, and walk wisely with those who have gone before. Here is episode 87 of Imprint Out Loud.
Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Hi everyone, welcome to Imprint Out Loud. Today we've got an interesting discussion. Doug, you with me here. Welcome, Doug.
Thank you.
Doug, we thought of discussing the whole theme of growing older, but specifically growing older in the church. So we all growing older. None of us, we all have birthdays. We are blessed at Brackeners with a diverse people in our congregation, very young members to very old members. How old is our oldest member? Used to be like in the 90s.
Yeah, I think our oldest member is about 88.
88. And you've always had a passion for those older people to give back to the church. Thinking of Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. Psalm 92 verse 14, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. What do you get from specifically Psalm 92:14? What older people, what role can they play? Because generally, most older people are parking the car, retired, and they've given much to the church, and
I actually read Psalm 92 in the middle of the night because I'm old and I can't sleep. So I thought, oh, I'll read Psalm 92. And that verse actually struck me. They'll still bear fruit in their old age. He talks about the relationship there being connected to the temple. Those who dwell in the temple, they will flourish like a palm tree, bring forth fruit in old age. So I think that's a really important lesson for as we get older to remember that the longer we're in Christ, there's a sense in which more of the fruit we should bear. First of all, more fruit of his character. That the longer we're converted, the older we get, the longer we're here, the more we should look like Christ. You know, Moses said in Psalm 90, after a generation of people dying, he said, you know, maybe you have 70 years, at the most 80, generally speaking. And it occurred to me the other night, I mean, I'm 65, that means I got 5 years. And it really struck me that, you know, how am I going to spend the rest of my life? So I have, because I've been saved a long time, I should be far more Christ-like than I was 40 years ago. But I think also bearing fruit in ministry, investing in the lives of others. So, you know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, to find faithful men, invest in them, older women to invest in younger women, Titus chapter 2, teaching them. So I think the older we get, we should not just sit on the sidelines. That's the temptation, because sometimes you don't have the energy or the zeal that you did when you were younger. Sometimes you feel like people don't respect you, so I'm just going to give up and just kind of just be there but not be involved. I don't think that's helpful. I think we should look at how can we prepare the next generation.
Yeah, that's good. And just as you were talking, it's not a surprise that if you grow in your sanctification, you want to serve more.
Right.
So as you grow older, you are being sanctified more. Paul writes to Timothy, show your growth, like show your progress.
Yeah.
So as he grows, I need to be a better Christian than last year. But through sanctification, you want to be more like Christ. Christ was a disciple maker. He taught, he lived life. So that would be a natural kind of a cause and effect. If you grow in holiness, you would want to serve more.
Yeah, I think so, because what is holiness? It's Christ-likeness. He came not to be served, but to serve. And so I think the more we're growing in Christ, the more we're going to look for opportunities to serve. And again, I think you have to keep in mind, there are physical disabilities sometimes you get older. So there's some things you cannot always do. But we can still bring forth fruit in our old age.
It's interesting you say you're getting old and couldn't sleep. So you've got some time to pray for a lot of people. So, but I want to touch on two things here. Just one, how can older people then serve or even equip themselves better, sanctify their more selves to give back? And then secondly, I want to touch on the younger people respecting as well.
Yeah.
Because I do think that there could be a misunderstanding there where older people think, well, they don't respect me, I'm going to withdraw. That's one side of it. But the other side is younger people should respect the older people and reaching out and asking questions. But let's go, first of all, how can older people grow in their service in the church?
So let's assume older people means people who are retirement age.
Mm-hmm. 65 and up.
Yeah. And even if they're not retired, because of this season of life, I don't have small kids in the household. I don't have any kids in the household. So I have more time. I'm not going to ball games on the Saturday, taking my kids to ballet and all that kind of stuff. I have a lot more time. And so with that time, what am I doing with it? And I think older people need to keep their minds stimulated.
Mm.
I think that they should be students. I think they should be reading good material, for one thing, which is equipping themselves. They should be learning all they can. And there are opportunities in the church for everybody to learn. And yet, an older person with more time, invest your time in learning. And then secondly, translating that into the lives of others, looking for opportunities to serve within the church, looking whether formally or informally, saying to someone, can we meet every once in a while? I think that that's a great way to serve, serving fellow older people. You know, Paul Jones, who pastored Bracken Downs Baptist Church for many years, he moved to Queens Haven years ago with his wife. I think Paul has died since, but he was in his 90s, I think, and he was the chaplain at Queens Haven. He was going around and evangelizing and sharing scripture with people. He just kept going. I think that's, you don't have to be a pastor to do that.
Yeah, so it's interesting you say they've got more time. We all have 24 hours. So to really buy your time, to be fruitful instead of watching stuff like anyone else, you do have more time, like you said, kids and driving around or work or being stuck in traffic. All of that kind of stuff falls away.
Yeah.
That you could equip yourself, read, pray, and invest in others' lives. Now, switching then, let's say an older man or an older woman, more mature, let's put it that way, reaches or have this mind in themselves of saying, people won't respect me or they don't respect me. Where do you think that comes from?
Well, I think that can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So the older you get, and I've experienced this, so the older I get, there are people who are younger who are not turning to me always for help, but they're turning to other members in the church who are younger, which is fine. That doesn't mean I don't have a role to play. So I can either pout about that and just then sit in a corner or say, okay, there's other ways that I can serve. So I do think that sometimes it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But I do think there's truth also that younger people too easily dismiss the older people. And that's not wise, because older people have experience that you can glean from. I was at a church a few months ago, and a young man was talking to me. He introduced himself, and he said to me, he said, you know, I'm sorry, I'm kind of uncomfortable talking to old people. And he said, but I know the value of that. He said, how do I spend time with older people in my church? I said, ask them if you can come over for coffee or invite them to your place for coffee or meet somewhere. I said, older people would love that. So I do think that younger people need to realize older people, yeah, they may not be, you know, with it. They don't know the latest music and the fashions and all of that. But they have life experience. And when you start talking to older people, you realize, wow, they've been through some things. It's really good for me to hear that.
I'm always reminded when I have talks about older or generational things, that old saying, history repeats itself. And years ago, I can't remember who it was, but a theologian said he disagrees with that fact. It's not that history repeats itself. Sin just repeats itself.
Yeah, right.
Which actually brings it into the older people's life experience. Sure, we experience some new things, but even fashions are coming back into play. The 50s are now back into at play. So if you do encounter young people that are listening, you can go to older people because it's the same sin that they struggle with that you're going to struggle with.
Yeah.
And you can ask them for good advice because they've got all this, all these years that they've been fighting sin. So it's not about, oh, they don't know.
Right.
They probably do know.
They probably do know.
Yeah. And maybe just flipping that around, like, okay, younger people don't respect me. Do you think there could be a little bit of pride there of saying, okay, fine, they won't come to me, but I'm going to go to them?
Yeah. Yeah, I think pride rears its head at every age. So it can be a matter of pride. And I think as older people, sometimes you just swallow your pride and say, okay, people aren't coming to me, but I have something to offer. And without being obnoxious, you know, coming alongside and saying, hey, you know, I've noticed some things that I'd like to help you with, or do you need help with this? Mm. You know, I think that being proactive would probably open a lot of doors for older people. And using our time, I mean, so Moses was probably 120 when he wrote Psalm 90. And he said, teach me to number my days so I can gain a heart of wisdom.
Yeah.
So 120 is saying, teach me.
Mm.
So there's no excuse for lack of teachability.
End of last year, an older or more mature lady in our congregation, I mean, she's retired. I think she's probably in her mid-60s, invited my daughter and her little group of friends, three or four of them, over for... she just took them out for tea, and I was, and I mean, she's, I think back then she was 12 or 13. So it just shows you, and she honestly just had a good time with them. I think they did a craft and some tea and cake, and she brought them home. It wasn't very insightful, but it was just like, hey, I want to spend time with you guys. And eventually there would be a relationship when you get older.
Right.
So it's also that grooming of opening doors, and just have good fellowship.
Yeah, and I think if you don't do that, you can end up creating unnecessary generation gaps in your church.
Mm.
So that's the reason I actually do Reading with Uncle Doug on Sunday evenings with these young kids. And I look up for my book every once in a while, and they're not paying attention. But it's worth it for me to have a connection with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because though I'm more than 50 years older than those kids, I want them to know that I love them and I'm available to them. I think that's important.
Yeah. Now, going back to the younger people, how can we, probably not me anymore, but how can younger people tap into older people? Not talking about the middle age, but younger, tapping into the older. And then second question, how can the younger people prepare themselves to grow old with this mindset?
Yeah. So the first one was, how do older people?
Yeah. No, how do younger people reach out to older people?
I think you just reach out. I think taking the initiative and saying, do you mind if I come by? And actually just saying this, can I just come by, or we meet for coffee, and I just want to hear your story. I want to hear about your life. I want to hear where you were raised. I mean, that can be fascinating, and you learn things about people. And the more you know of a person's history, sometimes the more you appreciate them. You don't realize all that they maybe have come through. I mean, I love speaking to older people and hearing the stories of what they went through in a far, generation a long time ago, things they struggled with. So I think taking the initiative.
That's good. And then secondly, how can younger people grow up with this mindset already, trying to groom themselves to grow old in giving?
Yeah, so I think young people need to realize that they are born to die. You know, I think Bruce Springsteen has that song, Born to Run. We should do a song, Born to Die, because that's exactly what happens. So, therefore, again, when Moses wrote Psalm 90, he's writing that for a generation that's dying, but he's also writing it for the generation that's coming. Mm. So I think that we need to always realize that, you know, by the grace of God, most of us are going to age. And so make the most of your opportunities now. And then you get into those habits so that when you are older, you still have the same habit of serving. And you're not locked into this, okay, I'm retired now, I just lay that aside. No, because you've had 50 years of saying, I need to serve the Lord. 50 years of, and therefore, the retirement is simply an opportunity to be redeployed.
Then my last question, Doug, just on pastors, because Imprint, we do exist to serve pastors. How can you speak into helping pastors retire well?
Well, when I do that, I'll let you know. I mean, of course, you know, we have a transition plan here at Brackenhurst. I think that you have to be willing to let go and not wait until the last day. I think that's where I'm at, is I don't have to do everything. And I have to allow younger guys to do tasks that maybe I really enjoy, but they need the experience of that. And also, I think the mindset of someone who's going to retire is, though I'm going to retire from a particular position, I'm not retiring from serving the Lord. I think that, so I'm already thinking, what am I going to be doing when I'm not pastoring? I'm going to be, serving, hopefully, maybe Imprint and ministries like that, but to realize that it's not the end. I'm not just going to sit around, and I'm not going to be critical, but I'm not going to go and play golf every day. Of course, I don't play golf today, but I want to be really wise about spending the rest of my life. So my father-in-law, 87 years old, began preaching when he was 24, preached decades, thousands and thousands of sermons, pastored well, had a very active ministry. He's not as active now. Just physically, he can't do it. But he's still looking for ways to serve the Lord. If someone's in the hospital, he's going to be there to visit them. He may get somebody to drive him there, but he's going to get his cane, and he's going to walk the hall, and he's going to go see that person in the hospital. He doesn't see himself as, because I'm retired from the pastorate, and from the ministry, that I can't serve the Lord.
Do you think there's an identity problem there, that if you serve for so long in the ministry, that that becomes you, and if you're not behind the pulpit anymore, you kind of get flustered?
I think it's a massive problem. I remember reading the biography, autobiography of Colin Powell years ago, who was a Secretary of State and a general in the Army in the United States. And I remember somewhere in the book he made this point that he learned to never get his identity from his role. He said, because when you lose that role, then you lose your identity. And that was just really helpful for me. A secular viewpoint, which is true. So I think pastors need to realize their identity is in Christ. And if your identity is in what you do, you're going to be a miserable old man when you're no longer doing that. You can't do that.
And that basically, like you said, applies to secular as well. So whoever's listening, I mean, don't find your identity in your work or your role as a mom or wherever. Grow in Christ. That goes full circle back to where we started. Be sanctified. Find your identity in Christ. Grow in Him. And then you can grow old, wise, and well.
Yeah, for sure.
Any last thoughts on it?
No, I just think that, I'm at that stage in my life now. And again, it struck me. I thought, you know, I don't think Moses' statement about being 70 or maybe 80 is an absolute statement. He was saying in his lifetime that was it. But it did make me realize, if I were to go at 70, I've got 5 years left, how am I going to spend those years? And what it simply means is, therefore, how am I going to spend today? Spend each day. It's a new day. I'm going to serve the Lord and serve Him well.
That's great. Well, thanks for sharing your wisdom, Doug. I'm sure we'll have another talk on this, but it's been good. If you have any questions, send them in. We can discuss them and shed some light on certain topics. Hope you enjoyed this one. Until next time.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it, or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.